Well, okay, here we are. Here we are once again. We're just right here. Here we are. We're once again. It's the news. According to me. It is terribly terrific Topical Tuesday. So good. Topical Tuesday. Good top of the morning to you. It's top of the Topical Tuesday thing. It's April 22nd, 8:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am here with you, listening. We're just listening. You're listening to me, I'm listening to you, but I'm not hearing anything from you. Until you start screaming at you need to scream at your computer, your radio, or your iPhone, or whatever it is you're listening through. Just scream at it. Eventually I'll hear you. I can imagine what you're doing on the other end over there. See, I'm here to tell you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. But I can make chai. I have with a powdered mix. I have my chai with my Almond Joy creamer. I kind of, my tea was starting to get a little funky. So I had a little bit left in it. You know, so I had about a cup full. I had to let it go. I just had to let it go. Let it go, let it go. So I had to let it go. So I have Joe Peach Tea. That's what it says, Joe Peach Tea. It doesn't say Joe's Peach Tea. It says Joe Peach Tea. It's not Joe Peach Tea. It's Joe Peach Tea. Yeah. So that's what I've got. I got a little bit of it. A little bit left in the bottom of a bottle. Probably belongs to my wife, and I took it. Decided to just drink the rest of it because it was just sitting there in the refrigerator. Sad and lonely, so I decided to just take it. I had got a few topics to talk about this morning. I did sleep better last night than the night before. We had the other cat was in the room, and there's just a never-ending saga going on with the cat and the two dogs. It is, it's a long story, but it's just one thing after another with them. The other cat just kind of crawls up and snuggles up with us, and dog looks at him, and that's kind of the end of that. There's nothing crazy going on. Whereas the sassy cat, I call him sassy. He's a big cat, younger cat, I guess. I think he's younger. I don't know how old the other one is because she was a stray. Female cat does fine. The male cat is about twice the size of the little, well, not quite. He's like 15, 16, 17 pounds. I don't know. He's a ridiculously large cat. And he's just a little bit of a teenager. He's a little bit territorial, a little bit of an attitude towards the dogs. Like he's not going to take anything from them. Well, when you got a 90-pound puppy running around, where I currently he's laying here at my feet sleeping, so it's nice when you're just nice and peaceful. This morning he was he's been going through this barking phase where he looks at the other dog and just starts barking. Wants him to do something, chase me, play with me, do something, react somehow. It's the other dog. It's an old dog, and all he does is just growls and snaps at him, sends him to the other side of the room. He starts barking at me. I do the same thing. Growl, snap at him, sending the other side of the room. So it's an interesting saga going on here at the house with the four animals and two people. At some point, the animals are going to take over. So I have a couple of topics to talk about today. Main topics, I'll just run through them right quick. If you're not interested in them, you can just turn the show off. At the end, I've got a few little smatterings of some topics, just topical topics. Some things I talked about yesterday that I just kind of touched on. This whole Nancy Mace thing, I kind of briefly mentioned that. I didn't say why. I said something about losing respect for her, and I didn't say why I did. There are more Dems running to the El Salvador prison. Lock them up down there when you get down there. Just come down there and just lock you up. We'll just put you in here too. We got space for you. they're going down there, and they're just in my. Why are they doing this? They just continue to do this stuff. Now, the Democrat Party, as I said yesterday, it is in turmoil. It is a tremendous state of turmoil right now. In my opinion, this Senator Van Hollen, I think is his name, from, I think he's the Maryland senator, I believe, or congressman, whatever he is. I'm not a politician. Goes running off to El Salvador to be the hero for this guy who is, now they're really kind of stepping in it here. And Dana Bash recently interviewed the guy a couple days ago when he got back. I think he got back. And all of a sudden, now there are other senators and congressmen running down there. It's like, oh, this is, I got to go down there and be the hero. What I see is that it's an opportunity for them to take a paid vacation. That's what it is. I'll go down there and make some phone calls. I've got to be down there. I can't just make the phone calls from here. I got to be down there to make the phone calls. Because it you know, shows support for this guy. And by the way, I'm sure they're partying every evening. That's what happens here with these people. It's all an excuse to go down there, spend a couple hours making phone calls, trying to talk to people, tap people on the shoulder, and then just the rest of the time they take them and their crew. I'm down here with three of my colleagues and all their support people, which is, in other words, that's code for all the people I like to party with on the taxpayer dime. You don't see this kind of thing happen when they want to go, when there's someplace that's not a vacation capital of the world. I wouldn't say El Salvador is the vacation capital of the world, but they want to go there because it's, you know, it's tropical. The booze is free, is cheap, I guess, or I don't know. Whatever reason they're going down there. Make no mistake, this is their opportunity to have somebody else pay their way down there and make them look like the hero doing it. Well, Dana Bash was asking the Senator Van Hollen. A lot of background noise going on here. I'm going to ask the senator some questions. I'm going to play the entire clip here because I think this is very telling of how they actually are. We'll see what we have here. Dana goes into kind of a long thing. Now, listen carefully to the questions she's asking. She asks a couple of questions in this statement. She makes a big, long statement. And we're gonna analyze some of the things she says here because it is very telling in the way she asks the question, but also she's trying to frame it in such a way without being too overboard to make it innocuous. However, if you listen to what she's saying, this is very different than what she would say if she was going after someone else in another party. Let's see what
now,
she says.
President Trump says that some of Abrego Garcia's tattoos signify that he's a member of MS-13.
So the president says some of his tattoos say he's a member of MS-13. The president says this is trying to discredit because they've discredited Trump now, so they're trying to discredit what he says. This is carefully how they tie this together.
Now, President Trump says that some of Abrego Garcia's tattoos signify that he's a member of MS-13. In 2019, police alleged a confidential informant claimed
police
that
alleged
Garcia was
a confidential informant.
MS-13
all of a sudden, confidential
his
informants.
Wife and his attorney deny that, of course.
All of a sudden, confidential informants are not apparently are not credible. Even though that's all they ever use is confidential informants.
Can you say with absolute certainty that he is not, nor has he ever been, a member of the MS-13?
This is an important question. Can you with absolute certainty say that he is not, or has never been, a member of MS-13?
That he is not, nor has he ever been, a member of the MS-13 gang? And did you ask him point blank?
Well, Dana, what Donald Trump is trying to do here is change the subject.
Okay, this was a yes or no question. This is a yes or no question. If the answer was yes, he would say, yes, I did. And he said no. What Donald Trump is trying to do is change the subject. No, that's exactly what you're doing right at the moment. You're trying to say, This is the absolute projection that we always talk about that Democrats do when they're trying to accuse someone else of doing something. Donald Trump's trying to change something. He's trying to change the subject. He's trying to change the subject. Well, if he's trying to change the subject, why are you changing the subject to Donald Trump trying to change the subject? These people.
The subject at hand is that he's doing all this in an attempt.
I'm going to listen to the thing from the beginning of his little answer, because he's buying time. He's rolling things off out of his mouth here, so he's got time to think about his answer, because he knows he's caught here. He knows this is bad. This doesn't look good. He's got to fish around for something in his head to make this look better.
The subject at hand is that he and his administration are defying a court order to give Abrego Garcia his due process rights.
They're not doing that. They said, sure, yeah, we'll facilitate it. There's a difference between facilitation and affectation. I'm not a lawyer. Affectation. In other words, the judge ruled that they have to facilitate his return. Now, if they would have said effectuate, that means they have to make it happen. Now, that can be difficult, because he's a citizen of El Salvador. He's in El Salvador. They can't extradite him. And this is a very difficult situation. This would mean that the president would have to negotiate his release, which means somebody's got to be dispossessed here. They might say, well, for $1 million, we'll let him go. Or if you change the trade agreement, we'll let him go. If you send us weapons and missiles, or if you provide us with defense systems, if you give us information, anything like this, that puts us in a position where we have to negotiate his release, which goes beyond the scope of the judicial branch. So it's, you know, they're claiming that the President Trump is ignoring the separation of powers. No, he's not. There's a separation of powers. Not one power obligated to live up to the other power. This has been done for time immemorial. I don't agree with a lot of the times that presidents have ignored Supreme Court rulings, because they've been absolutely adjudicated properly, and presidents have ignored them and then gone on to do some very terrible things. Jackson, for example. I'm not going to get into it. We had this is a case where he was deported because he was an illegal alien. The media is claiming that he's here illegally because he kept reporting his status. No, that's not what's going on here. There is plenty of reason to get this guy out of the country. You're here illegally. You can be deported at any time. That's just that. It doesn't matter whether you're waiting for asylum or not. You can still be deported. You can continue on with your asylum case from wherever you came from. He wasn't a political prisoner. He wasn't a political refugee. And of course, he's not answering this question on the MS-13 thing. We'll get into that at the very end again. She does bring it up again, surprisingly.
Trying to litigate on social media what they should be doing in the courts. They need to put up or shut up in the courts. Let me tell you, and I decided to write this down so I could be absolutely accurate as to what Federal District Court Judge Zinnes said about these allegations.
Now, he goes into this thing about Judge Zinnes. Now, Judge Zinnes is a very, this is a guy. He's a very left-leaning individual. this court situation is such that this guy's never been now in 2019. This guy did go to court, and they did determine that he was a suspected MS-13 individual, of gang member. Now, he was ordered to be deported at that time. Got a deportation order at that time. It was never fulfilled. Now, keep in mind, I said this yesterday, and I'll continue to say it. There's no online registration form. There's no membership status, no card-carrying status of an MS-13 member. You don't do that. You have certain tattoos. You wear certain kinds of clothes. And when you're a member, you don't deny that you're a member to anyone, or you will be killed. If you deny, they are very strict about that. So he will not deny it. But he's going to try to shy it around the whole thing. And here we go again with this whole thing of, well, it's not been proven. And even the judge said there's no evidence. No evidence has been brought forward. Well, they don't have to. For one thing, that's
the Trump administration, quote, no evidence linking Abrego Garcia to MS-13 or any terrorist activity has been presented to the court. That's where to litigate this. Mm-hmm. It's been litigated in many other places. So yeah. I'm not going to get into the details, because the whole purpose of our court system is for them to adjudicate.
He's not going to get into the details because that would cause the whole thing to go belly up. I guarantee you it would.
These things, not for Donald Trump to go off on social media.
Yeah, you're right. They have not, there hasn't been a court hearing for them to put forward evidence in the first place, which is your whole point. But since you were the one person to have met with him, and since this is a thing, you say on social media, it's what we hear from Donald Trump and Republicans every day, all day long, you didn't ask him?
I didn't ask him that because I know what his answer is. What he told me.
He knows what his answer is. And here's what he told him. Let's hear what he told him.
Because he was sad and traumatized that he was being in prison because he has committed no crimes. And that goes to the heart of this issue, because he's...
Well, that hasn't been adjudicated yet, has it been? So it's just his word saying that he's sad. What was it? He's sad and what else?
And that goes to the heart of this issue, because he's being denied his due process. And that goes to the heart.
You didn't ask him?
I didn't ask him that because I know what his answer is. What he told me was he was sad. And traumatized.
That
he was being in prison.
He's in prison.
Because he has committed no crimes. And that goes to the heart of this issue, because he's being denied his due process rights. And Donald Trump is trying to change the subject. And, you know, when people start asking that question, in my view, they're falling into the president's trap.
Falling into the president's trap by asking him whether or not he's a member of MS-13. You're falling into the president's trap. Just ask him. Just ask the guy. See what he says. Ask him point blank, on record. Record it. See what he says. His wife posted. Now, they got a GoFundMe thing going on. They got the online fundraising thing going on here. And they're raising a bunch of money. I'm going to look and see how much it is yet. I'm sure it's probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably. She posts this thing, I think it was on TikTok or something, some kind of social media, of her and her husband. And she puts these little hearts on the picture. Well, the hearts just happen to be where his hand is, where the tattoos on his fingers are, covered him up. This is the man she filed a restraining order against because he was being violent. He was a domestic abuser. And she seems to have no problem with him now. Of course, he's in prison, and she's getting money. She doesn't think he'll ever come back. He's just a father. He's just a loving father. He's just a loving father. This is the story of a father and his son, a father's love for his son. Yeah. I'm sure he's sad and traumatized. I'm sure he misses his son. One of the judges involved in some of this litigation, not this particular judge that I just mentioned, but there's another judge someplace, I think it was El Paso possibly, who was just recently caught. He was housing illegal immigrants. One of them happened to be a Tren de Aragua member. He had like four or five of them living in his house. And of course, he was having some work done on his house. They were doing construction work for him. Because, you know, it's nice to have a couple slaves in your house. Probably kept them in the basement. People who are willing to work for underwaged, underpay, disenfranchised individuals. I'm helping them out. Yeah. That's what they think they're doing. Look how compassionate I am. I keep letting them live here in my basement, and they're doing some work on my house. Because I'm so compassionate. Folks, there's plenty of things being said on both sides of the aisle about this whole stuff. There's a lot of riffraff, a lot of stuff being said by Republicans as well. You get knuckleheads on both sides of this aisle. But the main knuckleheads, the biggest, in my opinion, the most atrocious things, are being done on the left. Even people on the left now, are right. In fact, in my opinion, Dana Bash, seems to have some nervousness in her voice here. She's like, don't you want to ask the actual question? Because she knows full well now, because she knows she's seen the polls. This is an 80-20 issue. When I say 80-20, what I mean is 80% of the country is behind deporting these people. Trump's approval ratings continue to climb. The Democrats now are at 21% as a party. 21%. It dropped from 29. Just last weekend, David Hogg was on and talking about how, you know, the Democratic Party has to change because what are we going to do about the 29% approval rating? That's among Democrats. Well, now it's at 21%. Latest poll just came out. 21%. Democrats are not even happy with the Democrats. This is not a good sign for them. And in the meantime, we have this whole thing going on with Carmelo. This situation is really bringing to light a cultural issue that we really need to get straightened out in this country. Because frankly, it is a mess. This has got to change. Officer Tatum, Brandon Tatum, has been covering this pretty extensively. And he had some things on. If you get a chance to check out his channel, he's kind of gone in a little different direction with his show. I used to listen to him all the time. I don't listen to him as much. He's gotten a little bit. Yeah, let's just say he's changed up a little bit, but kind of the style. His style is a little bit different than it used to be. He had several individuals on talking about this whole thing. Now, they have some kind of spokesman now that has come out as well. They're hiring, I guess. I don't think he's a lawyer. He's just a spokesperson, like a press spokesperson. Now they did go out and buy the family. Carmelo's parents went out and bought a new Escalade, brand new, And they also bought a house, big, large house that they purchased. All within the span of this whole thing happening. Now, keep in mind, they hadn't received any money from GoFundFund or GoFundSend, whatever it is. GoFundFund, whatever it is called. They hadn't received those funds; hadn't been released yet. Now you can easily, if you have it's called accounts receivable. You can get a loan on that. You can do all kinds of things based on certain things. Or if you know that money's coming in, you have funding available. Whatever it's going to be, but what is the amount now? Maybe I can find this out. I'm curious about this one. Last I heard, it was like over $250,000. But I'm pretty sure it's much higher than that now. GoFundMe. No, that's not what I want. Let's see here. I guess a Carmelo. Give, send, go. That's what it is. Give, send, go. Let's try that. Give, send, go. Carmelo. Let's see. Carmelo, whatever that is. I don't know what that is. Let's check. Let's see if we can find it here. Help Carmelo official fund. See what they got going on here. Okay. The goal is $550,000, $500,000. They have raised so far $506,000. $506,000 is what they've raised so far. 14,770 people have given. They have 3,984 people praying. That bully Klansman closed the gap first while trying to rob, spelled it, T-R-Y-N-A. Trying to rob you, and got sent to meet his maker, a.k.a. Satan. This is America, spells it KKK. You better carry something to defend yourself. You did nothing wrong. You are a good kid. Yah. Spared your life. Yah, which is that some people call God Yah. They don't use the name God. They use the word Yah. Spared your life that day, though that blade, through that blade, spared your life that day through that blade. You or him, you made the right choice. You could have suffered significant bodily harm or death. This is what these people believe. This was just 7 minutes ago this person posted that, and they gave him $10. Folks, no. You don't do this. Rosa Parks didn't pull out a knife and stab the person who asked her to sit in the back of the bus. You, sir, are not Rosa Parks. Actually, the whole Rosa Parks thing, you find out more about that whole situation, you realize that was also a setup. That whole thing was political theater. It didn't just happen one day, and then all of a sudden, there was, that whole thing was, I'm really disappointed. It's just, Should have known better. Growing up as a kid, you know, this whole thing, this Rosa Parks incident and the whole thing. It was just, we thought, oh, that's just a thing that happened. No, it wasn't just a thing that happened. It was all set up. This young man I'm concerned about this point in our culture, because if this is the way it's going to be, if I just ask someone to move, if I say something about, you know, this is our school's event, this is our school's tent, you need to go to another tent, or you need to get up out of your seat because these seats are for something else. These are reserved seats for certain people from our school. Black or white, doesn't matter. But they're reserved for our school. And all of a sudden, there's pushback. Now, I don't see how you kill someone, an unarmed individual, you kill them, and somehow that was the right thing to do. How you have twisted yourself into that situation of thinking that you did nothing wrong. It was either you or him at that moment. That blade saved you. Good thing you had that blade with you. This is the kind of thinking, this is the kind of cultural lapse that we have right now that will lead to a civil war. A culture clash like you have never seen before. I guarantee you, who's going to win it? This is not going to be good. This is not a proper response to what's going on. Now, most of the time, when someone resorts to violence, it's because they've run out of words. It's because they have lost the ability to articulate a toe-to-toe argument in differences of opinion. Well, then I'm just going to strike you down, I'm just going to slap you. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do that. In the heat of the moment, that's one thing. You took a knife with you to a track meet. Now, this was not on school property. Now, the way I understand is, I don't know all the details about this whole thing, but the way I understand it, this was not school property, so he didn't take his knife onto school grounds. However, it was a school event. Does that mean he can take a gun? Well, I know that when these schools, there's a county park here close by. Now, I can't take my gun into the school where these kids come to have these cross-country track meets, but they do them here at the park, at the local county park. I can carry my weapon there at the county park. I assume the kids can. Now, they may have a policy where if you're part of a school function, a school event, whether it's on property or off property, you may not be able to carry a sidearm. I don't know. I don't know if teachers are allowed to do that or not. I don't know what the deal is there. When they're operating in official capacity as teachers, or if they're operating as a particular function of the, you know, if they can carry a weapon or not, I don't know. I don't think they can. Typically, there's some kind of clause in their agreement with the students and the teachers and the parents. I would think parents would be able to carry whatever they wanted to at a county park just to watch their children, whatever it is. They're not a part of the event. I would carry. I don't like the fact that I can't carry into a public school. I don't like that. We used to be able to when I was a kid. This happened in our school. It didn't happen in my class, any of my classes. I can't remember if it was an English teacher or a history teacher. I was thinking it was a history teacher. I thought it was Mr. Schroeder. Had a kid bring a rifle into school and taught his, because he had this older rifle. It was a Remington. It was one of the first. They called it. It was a repeater. What was it? What was it called? It was called the. It was the old. It was the Remington cocking rifle. The whole thing. It had the hand cock thing on it. Very much a Western style. Kind of changed the whole Western thing. That's when they started, you know, shooting cartridges instead of doing the whole musket thing. Well, he had one. I think his dad. His dad had it. And his dad had given it to him, or it was going to become his, or whatever. It was in the family. Teacher asked him to bring it into school. So he could show everybody this gun that kind of made the West. It changed history. I mean, this was a history changing. It was kind of like a. And it was. He showed some of the mechanics of the whole thing, and showed how it was, you know, the different design, and how it got went from being a musket to this. And it was I heard that it was fascinating class. If you tried to do that today, that teacher would have been fired out on their ear that day, that minute. Probably been taken to prison. Of course, the kid would have been. That would have been the end of that kid, the parents, everything else. Because that's the culture we're in now. What has changed? There's not more guns per capita necessarily. What has changed? It's our culture that has changed. It's the ability to maintain a sense of morality, of right and wrong. And where does that stem from? Where does the core issues, where do the core issues develop in a young child and in every generation that we have? It's in the public school system. And they go into the corporate collegiate system, university system. And they keep learning. There's this core philosophy that is typically taught in most schools and universities that kind of weaves its way into every subject. I hate to say it, but it is, we're reaping what we've sown in this country. I don't know how you just turn that. You can't just turn that around overnight. Not without an act of God. There has to be I will call it a revival. I don't really necessarily like the word revival as much as I do restoration or renewal. Or even an illumination or a revelation. That's what our nation needs. The church itself, I think, needs a revival.
Well, the church that means the church is dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Church is dead. There's a lot of churches out there. A lot of them are growing. A lot of them are big. I was in a conversation with somebody the other day about this one particular church. It's not a denomination. It is an association, but it's a very large, kind of a mega church organization. And the one that's particularly in this particular area, it's the next county over, very large, and it's growing, and they've planted several churches in the area as well. They've also they have another off-campus area where they actually post the, I think they do a live broadcast of one of the services. They have four services. I think they have a Saturday night, and they have two, or I think they have two in the morning, or two or three. And they've added on to this building, and it's like a $50,000 a week budget or whatever they've got. It's ridiculous. And raise $14,000 a week. I don't know what it is. It's something ridiculous. So they ended up, I had this conversation with this guy. Apparently he went and he visited, and he was talking to the pastor, and he was telling me about what, and I know this guy really well. I know the pastor very well. And I also know the fellow who was talking to him.
And he was saying how, you know, why is it so large? What's going on with that? And so it seems like a really large church. And so like, they must be doing something. Oh yeah, they're doing something. They have a formula. It's a machine. They know what will draw people in. Now, what most people don't realize is that a lot of people attend that church. There's not that many members of the church. When you become a member of that church, there's only about not even a third. It's not even 30% of the people who attend that church are actual members of that church. They attend. However, if you just take the attendance of that church, and one of the thing that sparked my reaction when this guy told me about all this stuff, I was like, yeah, it's a big church. I said, but when you stop and think about it, there are more people that there's a McDonald's across the highway. It's not on the same side of the road. It's like across. There's a highway you have to go across to get over to where the McDonald's is. There's a bridge right there within. It's less than a mile away from the church. So the McDonald's across the road, across the highway, has more people go through the drive-through in a day than attend that church. So let's just get some perspective here. McDonald's is more popular. Every day. Now, we're not just talking about once a week. They don't even have a midweek service there. More people go through that McDonald's drive-thru every day. In fact, let's look at this. Let's see. Average number. I'm just going to look it up. Average number people going through a McDonald's drive-through in one day. Let's see what it is. McDonald's statistics and facts. Oh, it's not going to just show me that. 47 stunning drive-through industry statistics for 2020. Food truck. McDonald's has a plan to make its drive-through faster. Drive-through time. StatCrunch. Let's see if it's on here. This is on StatCrunch.com. So let's see what we got here. This is probably going to have the best answer, quickest answer. What do we got here? Oh, that's not. That's just a what? Okay, whatever. Drive-through times of McDonald's. Let's see. Drive-through time. That's not what I want. Stats. This is nothing. That has nothing to do with anything I want to see. Thank you very much for wasting my time on that. I have drive-through operators in touch. Let's see what we got here. 10 leading. How many people go through McDonald's drive-through? Let's see what we got here. This is a bit of an old one. McDonald's. 2018, this is 2018. Drive-through study, vehicles in line. 47, 0 to 2 vehicles. 47.6. I don't understand that at all. 3 to 5 vehicles, 40.5. How's this? An extra 40 minutes visit. This is ridiculous. I don't know what they're talking about. 1,300 restaurants. It's in the UK. That's in the UK. Popular is affiliate. How many cargos go through Chick-fil-A a day? Doesn't even have that number down here. It's safe to go through, pick up food, drive through. About 34% eat on site, and about 26% of the customers order to go, which means about 25% of customers eat at the restaurant, about 36% of customers get carry out. That's not 100% of the customers. So the rest of them must drive through, which is about 50% or so, 45% go through the drive through, a little less than half. Okay, that's not what I asked. I want to know what's the number? Wow. This is, you'd think this would be a simple thing to ask. What do we got here? Open last, recently closed tabs. Let's go with that one. Come on, come back here. There we go. Yeah, that's not what I wanted. How many people go through McDonald's drive-thru? How many people go through McDonald's drive-through. Copy that. Let's paste that. I'll just go there. Let's just do that. Okay, here we go again. 47 drive-through. 46 drive-through. So this, well, let's see what this is. Here, let's go with this one. I'm sorry, folks, for all this. It doesn't give me numbers. It just gives me percentages. What? How is that supposed to work? Drive-through facts, and we got everything. I guarantee you, it's over 1,000 people that go through a drive-through. Now, that's not necessarily 1,000 cars, but 1,000 people. I'm talking about because there's. I think an average every car has an average of 2 people in it. I think it's the way it works, or 1.9 or something like that. 1.9 people. I don't know what happens there. 1/10 of a person. People must lose their fingers or something going through. I don't know how that works. So that's where we're at. I'm sorry for the statistic. I'll try to get that for you for tomorrow because I'm sure everybody wants to know now. But it's about 60-70% COVID. That was COVID pandemic thing. I don't know what that is. Food truck, whatever. What are we doing here, folks? Okay, I don't know what that was about. I'll get rid of that. I don't know what percentage of sales are from drive-through. 12.4 billion trips. Okay, there's at least a number. 12.4 billion trips through fast food drive-throughs, 2011 and 2012. That was 15 years ago. 40%. That was only 40% of the. So yeah. Needless to say, McDonald's is serving more people than the church is, than the mega church across the street. And what I'm saying is, you just have to have some perspective on some of that kind of stuff. That's just kind of how crazy it is. All right, moving on to the next thing. I am out of chai. First of all, it's done. I have just a little bit of this peach tea. Take one more slice of that, and then we're gonna talk about this whole Pete Hegseth thing. Apparently, there's been another leak in Pete Hegseth's Signal account. Now, what has happened here, which is kind of interesting, what has actually happened here, and again, this is one of those deals where this kind of thing happens, and it is almost as if something has been set up. And if it wasn't set up, it's as good as, you couldn't have planned this any better. Someone within this little chat group he had going on was talking, and all he was talking about was general information about stuff that we already know. It's already in the evening news. We know there are airstrikes going on against the Houthis and everything else. It's general information. It's not time, temperature, you know, ordnance loads, statistics or strategy. There's nothing like that. Other than just general strategical stuff that's available online. There's nothing secret, top secret about what's going on here in this Signal chat thing. And his wife was included. I think his lawyer, personal lawyer was included. And some people who are basically his dearest and closest advisors. So the Signal thing has come out with him. So the knives come out again. The Democrats want Pete Hegseth gone. He needs to be gone. He's a threat to our nation. He's a threat to the security of our nation. What is it about this guy that they hate so much? We had some of the worst people working in the Biden administration. Worst. The crap that was flying around during the Biden administration. And all of a sudden, they are out for Pete Hegseth. Let me back up and just talk about one thing here. Whenever you have a toxic environment, when you have a flow, the picture I'm going to try to paint here for you is this stream, this hose that's just full of filth. And it's flowing, and people are drinking from it. And it's their source. That's all they can think about is everything that comes out of that hose, I'm going to put it in my mouth and spit it back out again. Because that's good. This is all good stuff. Their life becomes... That's all their life becomes. It becomes part of their identity. I see this in social media, especially in social media. People that seem to be normal walking down the street. And every post that they put on Facebook has something to do with a political organization or administration or whatever it is. It is constant rhetoric, constant hyperbole, constant. And it's almost always, 90% of the time, either exaggerated from the truth or absolute made-up crap. And it's every single post. You know, if you're posting on Facebook, here's what I would suggest you do. Tell me about how your day went. Not how Donald Trump made you mad. Okay, because that's whatever. Donald Trump didn't come in and pull the wires off your car and make it quit. Okay, it just, if your car quit, it quit because of whatever reason it quit for. It wasn't Donald Trump's fault. If you got a flat tire, it wasn't Donald Trump sticking nails under it. But that's the stuff I want to hear about with your life. I don't want to hear about your off the rails, unhinged, over the pale, whatever it is, stuff that's you're all socially concerned about. Tell me how your mom's doing. Tell me how your dad is doing. What's happening with your dog? What's happening with your cat? How are your kids doing? What's happening in your kids' school? What's a good thing that happened to your kids today? What's a good thing that happened to you today? What was the best thing that happened to you at work today? Who blessed you? Who did you bless? What are your struggles? What are your concerns? What are your issues in your life that you need prayer for? What are the things you're praying for somebody else about? I want to hear about your little circle, your little life, your little world. That's what I want to hear about. I don't want to hear about how you're worked up about somebody that doesn't know you, you don't know them, and then you don't know anything about really what's going on. I don't care about that. I care, but it's not like, first of all, get informed. And like I said, they throw this stuff out. They post stuff. They post all kinds of crap out there. Now they're posting stuff about Pete Hegseth and how he's always going down. They got to get rid of this guy. It's about time they get rid of him. Rumor has it that they're going to fire him. Of course, then they ask Donald Trump point blank. He goes, no, he's doing a great job. I'm not going to get rid of the guy. He's doing a great job. His family's doing great. He's just stellar. Where'd these rumors come from? They come from people on the inside that apparently are the same people who are leaking stuff like this. There are all kinds of moles and weasels and worms in the administration. I guarantee you, they're still left over. There's still people there that they've worked their way in, and they all act like they're part of the thing there, but they're not. They're not to be trusted. So, here we are. I have, that's just my little pony trail rant there on the whole Pete Hegseth thing. Now what he's finding out is he's finding out that within his small sphere, there are people who are leaking things. Unconfirmed sources tell us, or unidentified sources, whatever. Well, the problem with that is there was not that many people in this chat thing. So I'm pretty sure it wasn't his wife. Probably wasn't his lawyer. I bet it was, you know, my bet is there was somebody, probably half a dozen or a dozen people in this chat thing. I'm pretty sure he probably figured out pretty quick who was doing the leaking. It wasn't a reporter this time that somehow got invited into it by some off-duty, you know, off-kilter staff person. There's some people who are going to have to go. I think there's some people getting set up. And they'll attack everybody around a person until they get to that person. That's what they were doing with Trump. They were trying to they were going after Trump's lawyers because he was just because they had the audacity to try to defend him. Whatever happened to the judiciary process? How you're concerned about the judicial process? This has to be adjudicated. Well, how are you going to do that without a lawyer? But you're going to attack the lawyer that's trying to defend the guy because you don't think he deserved to be defended because you think he just needs to have his be deported and be executed. That's without a trial. They would do without a trial. It would just be they're just hanging from a tree. That's where probably 10% of the Democrats are right now. All these people are out protesting. They don't even know why they're protesting.
I don't know. Elon Musk wasn't elected.
Well, neither was the little 20-something-year-old knucklehead that works at the IRS that has all your information. He wasn't elected either, but he's got all your information, and you don't seem to have a problem with him.
Well, he's not trying to take my Social Security money.
Really? You think Elon Musk is going to take your Social Security? You think Elon Musk really wants your Social Security money?
Well, he's going to cut Social Security so he can get more bigger loans.
No, that's not the way that works. Okay, that's just not the way that works. It doesn't happen that way. I don't know if you understand anything at all about the way the budget system works and how Congress works. You're willing to listen to and buy into anything the crap that comes out of the hose, because that's what's happening here. The Democrats weave something up, throw it out the hose.
Send this out there. They'll eat this up, and then they'll start spinning it, put the memes out.
And even though they'll be figured out, by the time they figure out this one's wrong, we'll be on to the next, the 20th, one down the road. And they won't go back and correct anything that they don't go back and correct the stuff that they said that's wrong. They never do it. Now, I was talking about Nancy Mace the other day. Yesterday, I think it was. Said I lost all respect for her. Now, this happens. I'm just picking on her. I'm just using her as an example because there are plenty of Republicans that are this way. Nancy Mace has been, she kind of is this supposedly, she's a Trump supporter type person. She's supposedly a Republican. She's supposedly a conservative. She's not a conservative. She's more administration than anybody probably gives her credit for. She's more of the establishment, I should say. Nancy Mace she recorded this little thing of her in, I guess it was a beauty store or something, or in the beauty section. I don't know what she was in, what kind of store it was. She's in this store, and this guy confronts her, and all he says to her was, "Hey, are you going to have a town hall meeting? Are you ever going to have a town hall meeting here, so that people can meet with you and ask you questions?" And she goes on with this whole thing about, "I had a town hall meeting. I had this and that." And he kind of backs off, and he says, "Well," she starts getting snippy with him. Then she claims she's being harassed by this guy. Now she's recording this whole thing on her phone. And then she starts cussing at the guy, using the F word. Now this guy wasn't cussing. She starts talking about gay marriage. She apparently assumed this guy was gay. Now he talks a little bit effeminate. But she jumped to that conclusion. She didn't ever ask the guy. Just assumed he was gay, which I think is kind of Now, there are people I've heard talk. I've heard other people, and especially in particular industries that I am involved in quite a bit. And I assume they are, but I'm not going to say that to their face. Somebody comes floating in with the way they talk and the way they act. Okay, they're definitely playing the part. I'm going to assume that they're probably a particular persuasion. But I'm not just going to say that to them and assume so. It's one thing for me to keep my opinions to myself or talking to my wife. Once in a while I'll say that I think the other person is, so-and-so, whatever. I don't know, because I haven't asked them. That's the what's. You could say, "Are you gay?" And the person says yes. Then you can say, "Well, I voted for gay marriage." The first thing she said was, "I voted for gay marriage." Well, what does that have to do with me? I'm just asking about town hall meeting. This guy was like, you know, of course he. What she didn't know was he was also recording the other end of the conversation. He got the whole thing. He started before he even asked her a question. He started, and it doesn't show anything about him being snatched. And he was standing at least 12 feet away from her. In fact, he was just standing in the aisle looking at whatever it was he was looking at buying. Happened to notice her and kind of turned his head and said, "Ask the question." He wasn't approaching her. He wasn't like standing off, you know, wasn't squaring up to her or anything. He was just standing there talking to her. And what really. And it's one thing if she kind of freaked out. Now, she is a victim of an assault, sexual assault. And I can understand why she might freak out or have some kind of PTSD issue. However, I think she was at some kind of a military academy or something. So, I mean, you'd think she'd have enough discipline to overcome something like this. But she, at least to overcome the moment. I'm not saying she has to get over it, but I'm just saying she, in that moment, she's freaking out, saying the guy's harassing her and basically trying to make the guy out to be the bad guy, and then starts dropping the F-bomb. That's where I lose my respect for you. As a representative in the House, I'm sorry. When you start treating individuals on the street like that, and you don't have enough respect for yourself or for the other person, but to keep your mouth at least clean enough to have a respectful conversation, saying things to that person that you wouldn't say to, that you wouldn't mention from a pulpit. Wouldn't say those words. Maybe some of you would. I'm not saying they can't be used from a pulpit. I'm just saying they probably shouldn't be. It's not appropriate. And I'm not saying we have to be preaching from every time we open our mouth. I'm just saying at least be respectful enough. In those kinds of situations. Now, if you're out drinking with your friends and you're getting kind of drunk and everything's happening and it's just kind of, you're kind of messing around and now you some explore this fly or whatever happens, whatever. That's one thing. When you're out in public, folks, when you're a public servant, you're a public servant 24 hours a day. That's the job you took. Now there's people that are, "Well, I have to go into the House to vote. I have to actually be there to attend in person to place a vote. I should be able to place a vote remotely." And this lady the other day, a congressman, brought her child in, her baby. She's standing there. Now, tell me that the Congress does not provide child care. I guarantee you they have the best child care money can buy. They have the best health care system. They have a better health care than anybody in the country does. Is the premium of healthcare systems. I guarantee you they have daycare at the White House, at the Capitol building. I guarantee you. She carries her little baby up to the podium to speak, and she talks about how, "I have to come in to vote and I have a child." Well, then maybe you should think about stepping down. If raising your family and having a part of your child's life is more important, maybe you need to think about stepping down and having somebody else do that position. Because heaven forbid, the country would just come to a screeching halt without you being there. This is self-aggrandizing. People think that they're so important that they just have to be there. And they need to be able to work from home. That's not the way it works, folks. If, you know, a woman, I thought a woman could do anything a man could do and better. Anything. Go out and work on an oil rig. Do it better. Have a child at the same time. See how that works for you. How's that work to be on an oil rig? You might think about, maybe I can't be here on the oil rig. This job demands that I'm on the oil rig. And guess what? Having a baby, having a three-month-old baby is probably not a good place to have a baby on an oil rig. She's not the best place for it. Sorry. We're not going to be able to accommodate. You can't just call into work here. Welcome to America. Welcome to the working world, the working class.
I need to be able to call into work. They're going to make my voting so I can sit at home and just get a paycheck and just call my vote in.
These people are pathetic. Okay, I've said enough. I've gone over an hour again. No, sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry, but not sorry. I have Wednesday. Tomorrow is, what is it, Wackadoodle Wednesday? I can't remember what Wednesday is even anymore. Wednesday is... Wishy-washy Wednesday. We're going to talk about some people who are wishy-washy. And I've talked about a few of them today, but we'll have some more details about some things tomorrow in the way that they are wishy-washy. And Nancy Mace will be one of those wishy-washy people. So I guess in the words of Michael, not Michael Knowles, what is the guy's name? Can't ever think of his name. What is his name? I can't... The guy, what is a woman guy? That guy. I don't listen to him as much anymore. He, in his words, you're canceled. Sorry. The folks, have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you tomorrow on Wishy Washy Wednesday. We'll have some people on here, some audio. God bless. See ya.